This is a dispatch from the Institute of Magical Historicity. These dispatches come in from across our worldwide network in New York, Zurich, Rochester, Prague, and San Francisco. They are written and read by Institute President Benjamin Wax and scored by the Dean of Aesthetics, Ariel Cruz. They have been peer-reviewed for accuracy by the Council of Three and fact-checked by Institute staff. For more information, visit magicalhistoricity.com. Returning. Inspired by a prompt from Kate Woods. There was a young girl who lived in a large house near a warm beach. For as long as she could remember, she would walk along the shoreline and collect shells. She was a strong swimmer for one so young, and for as long as she could remember, she would swim underneath the water, finding new fish and committing their shapes and colors to memory. After each swim, she would ask her grandparents what the names of the things she had seen were, for her grandparents seemed to know everything. And for as long as she could remember, she did not grow up, but was forever a young girl. She could not make friends with the other children who ran on the beach, because they grew so quickly, and soon they no longer understood one another. The dogs that ran across the beach and into the ocean would grow stiffer and slower, and eventually stop coming at all, to be replaced with new dogs. And so she was lonely, in ways that she did not have words for, being so young. But she felt the loneliness deeply, as she stood on the beach, shivering in the wind. She went to her grandparents one day, and asked them why she did not grow up. And her grandfather coughed and shook his head, but her grandmother smiled and stroked her hair. "You can grow up any time," she said softly. "All you need to do is walk through the door at the end of the hallway in the basement." The young girl had seen this door before. It was imposing and tall, with intricate patterns carved into the wood. The carpet in the hallway leading up to it was mismatched patches, and there was a single woman's shoe sitting in front of it, and always had been, for as long as she could remember. She had been fascinated by this door, once, but had never even thought to open it. She thanked her grandparents, and took the candy her grandfather gave her, and with it in her cheek, went down to the basement to look at the door. She followed the mismatched carpet, and came as close as the woman's shoe, and looked at the door carefully. She did not understand why her conscientious grandparents had not changed the carpet or moved the shoe. She did not know whose shoe it was, for it was not her grandmother's. She could not follow the intricate patterns carved into the wood. However much she tried, her eyes got lost. Could she just open the door? She had always assumed it was locked. It seemed like it must be locked. She reached out her hand, then turned away and went back to walk along the ocean. She did not know how much time passed, but the day came when she had collected every shape of shell that washed up from the ocean. And one day she stopped seeing new things when she swam. And one day her grandfather was gone and never returned. And one day her grandmother began coughing horribly. The young girl grew concerned and asked if she could help, and her grandmother shook her head sadly and smiled sweetly and said no, there was nothing she could do. And perhaps it was the way her grandmother said it, or perhaps the young girl's mind, having run out of new things to see, had begun to see what was always in front of her in new ways. But whatever the reason, she understood that what her grandmother had really said was, "You cannot help me because you are a child, and there is nothing a child can do." She got up. She missed her grandfather and the candies he'd always given her. She walked down the steps to the basement. She walked through the hallway with the mismatched carpet. She passed the woman's shoe, and for the first time wondered if it might be her shoe. Though, of course, it did not fit her foot. She reached her hand out. She touched the doorknob. For a moment, she felt a shock. Then it was cold in her hand. She hesitated. Upstairs, her grandmother coughed. She turned the knob. The intricate wooden door opened. Behind it was a mirror, and in that mirror, the young girl was reflected as a middle-aged woman. Tall, her skin just beginning to wrinkle, her eyes heavy, her smile sad. The woman in the mirror moved exactly the way the young girl did, but the words she spoke were her own, and came from very far away. "If you walk through this door," the woman in the mirror said, "you will spend your life with overwhelming guilt for not having grown up sooner when you could have been more help. You will always regret the good you did not do." A shiver went through the young girl, one that did not go away, and she knew the words of her adult self were true. And she did not want to go through the door. She was grateful to the door for protecting her all this time. "But if I do," she said, hesitantly, "I can do some good, can't I? Help someone? Isn't that better than helping no one at all?" "You should have saved them all," her older self replied, and the shiver in the young girl began to burn with shame and regret. "They were always yours to lose." The young girl nodded, overwhelmed and ashamed, but her right foot stepped closer to the door. "If you walk through this door," her older self said, "you will spend your life in deep regret for not having held on to childhood for as long as you possibly could. Some days, your lost childhood will be all you yearn for." Hearing this, the young girl's face curled in anger and despair, and she saw the same anger and despair on her face as an adult. Only there it was even crueler. "How?" the young girl wailed. "How can I feel both these guilts and regrets at once? How can I feel both ways?" "You can, and you will," her older self said, "for all your life. It cannot be escaped. This is why we have stayed here so long." "This is not fair," the young girl cried, and her older reflection made the same fists and raised them at the same heaven. "That is why you should stay here," her older reflection said, "because once you cross this threshold, nothing will ever be fair again, only unrelenting, full of choices and unresolvable sorrows." "But I can help." "For a time." The young girl struggled to articulate her feelings. "I have seen every type of fish and shell. I have run along the beach so often that I follow my own footprints. My grandfather is gone, and my grandmother is dying. I do not know what else to do with childhood." "That," her older reflection said, "is because you are a child." But the young girl set her shoulders back in determination. Her adult reflection did the same, and stepped forward, through the door, into the mirror. A moment later, she stepped back out again, the middle-aged woman she had been speaking to. She walked quickly out of the basement, up the stairs, and put a compress on her grandmother's head and called an ambulance. Her grandmother was sick, but she would recover. When her grandmother had recovered, she left the beach and returned to her home in the city, which was just the way she'd left it. Decorated and beautiful, filled with mementos, cold and solitary. She returned to her job fundraising for nonprofits that clean the oceans. She went drinking with her friends and occasionally dated a string of men who bored her or who excited her in all the wrong ways. And she deeply regretted that she had not been able to help her grandfather, and she deeply regretted all the children she had known by the ocean whose lives she had not been a part of. And she wondered how she could have been so selfish as to linger there so long, even as she longed to return and be simple again. "It was not your fault," she told herself over and over again. "You were a child. You couldn't have known." Every time she said that, she felt lonely in a way that she still did not have words to describe. But she consoled herself with the belief that she had done the right thing, and that she loved that little girl. This has been a dispatch from the Institute of Magical Historicity. The Institute is headquartered in San Francisco with major offices in New York, Zurich, Rochester, and Prague. Dispatches are released twice a month on iTunes, SoundCloud, and other services, with additional dispatches provided exclusively to Institute members. Dispatches cannot be taken for credit, but can serve as course prerequisites. We'd like to thank our supporters, including Liana Becker, Jose Cruz, and Nicole Johnson. The Institute is a signatory to the Johannesburg Protocols and is in no way affiliated with Benjamin Winter or his estate. For more information, including a selection of workshops, books, artifacts, and certifications in magical historicity, visit magicalhistoricity.com. You can support the Institute or become a member on Patreon at patreon.com/magicalhistoricity.